I can hear you.
All right, good, good. Welcome. You want to introduce yourself and your theater company and what you do, and I'm happy you called in.
Hi, I'm Ryan Holtoppel. I have a theater company, 31 Down Radio Theater. It's been around for about 10 years, where I create theater pieces and interactive art installations, and just kind of help a lot of other artists create their works as well.
Cool. Well, I was talking, you know, of course I was talking about your Busker Do project and your Canal Street Station project, but I guess explain, you know, where those projects came from and what they were.
Okay. Well, I was kind of seeing the payphone fading away in New York City. Just payphones in subway stations and payphones just on the street. So I started doing pieces based on that. I was using this open source Linux-based telephone system called Asterisk, which basically takes away the you know, people could use Cisco phone systems or something in a business, but this guy created basically an open source one so you could have a relatively free private branch exchange, they call it, in your business. So I was like, oh, I could start using this for art projects. You can do a lot of things like make phone calls, take phone calls, and record phone calls pretty easily. So I worked with my friend John Schimmel on, which was a project to record buskers in subway stations. And so we set up basically a system where if you see somebody playing music in the subway, you can go to a payphone and call a certain number and then just let them, the ambient sound of them playing in the subway, record into the payphone. And then we sent that file, once it was done recording, to a blog, I think, that you could subscribe with an RSS feed and then put it into whatever music aggregator that you have, like iTunes or something, and then you can just hear a constant flow of people recording street musicians and subway musicians. So that was using Asterisk. And the subway payphones, I guess, were basically, you know, being phased out. They were not all working, and I think they weren't maintaining them. So it was like, oh, we have to do one more project. So I wanted to make a murder mystery in the subway station that you could basically use the payphones and try to navigate your way around the subway station and, you know, answer clues based on, you know, how you see the subway station itself. So actually with 3103 Transmission Arts, they co-produced it with me for their 10th anniversary, I think back in 2007, maybe. So we basically took the Canal Street subway station, and I also, for this one, you didn't need to put a quarter into the phone. I got a 1-800 number that attached itself to the Asterisk server that I was using, and then basically just made a game based on knowing what platform you were on in the subway station and where you needed to go next based on the platform that you started. So you could start on any platform in the station. So it was relatively successful. We ran it for 6 months, and it was kind of out of a need to create like a public art installation in a public space where you can, you know, you pay the $250 or whatever to get into the station, but then you can kind of see it in a different way, if that makes sense.
It does
make sense. So in other words, for those who are listening, you actually made an RPG.
Hello? Sorry. Only one mic actually works now. He was asking you a question. Sorry, through a mic that wasn't hooked up. But
okay, I didn't hear it.
Talking to both mics if you can.
Well, you got to give me both mics.
You got both mics.
Okay, there I can hear it. Hi.
All right. So, in other words, you made an actual RPG game live of Clue, right?
Basically, yes, and the way we framed it in the actual game itself, you play a private investigator, and you kind of, you know, the phone is like this disembodied voice, but in it you hear your own thoughts, or thoughts that I created for you about a private investigator searching for somebody lost in the subway station.
Oh, okay, that's cool. That sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
So let me borrow that back.
All right, here's Matt.
The first time I did it, for my user testing period, I had it in the end. The phone called me on my cell phone, and I talked to people at the end of playing the game to see how they did it, and that was a lot of fun too. It kind of created this, you know, two-way communication thing where they were playing the game, but in the end, they talked to a live person, which is kind of fun. I wish, you know, I could have been there for everybody that successfully completed the game.
Hey, Ryan, we have a visitor just came into the radio station, by the way, of Trixie von Mothersburg, and she has a message. She lost her voice. She has a message, and she lost her voice, but she has a message written on a loose leaf notebook. So do you mind if I read that real quick?
No, go for it.
All right. It says, "Good morning, all. I have stopped by to show my support for the Saturday morning show." I'm flipping the pages. Hold on. Up, oh, they're sticking together because I got too much. Tom brought us donuts. "I'm standing out here because I caught the plague and lost my voice, and the only known cure is your pledge to WGXC," and I think that's somehow tied into the afternoon show, "or possibly a doctor." Man, I ate too many of these, whatever they're called, munchkins. Yeah, but mostly your pledge. Thank you. And then there's a Pac-Man with something blasting off. But yes, we are trying to raise money. Remember, I wanted to bring up the story of how we met. Free 103. Do you want to tell that story? We lived on South Fifth and Barry.
Yeah. I mean, I did a party of a friend of mine, Jill Telesnicki, and I met a gentleman named David Kay, who was a disc jockey under the name of Mr. E, like mystery, and he
Enigma
said that he was having a film shooting for a Super 8 horror zombie film on the roof of a radio station, which actually happened to be around the corner from where I was living. So, Matt, you and I both went over to be extras in this zombie movie shot on Super 8 called The Spider Inside of Me, which was which was a lot of fun. We got to dress up as zombies and run around, and that's where we met Tom and Free 103 at that time.
Nice. And now, you know, from a 40-watt transmitter in a little single room loft, we have a three studio community radio station, you know, with a $130,000 yearly budget that almost $70,000
yeah,
comes from the listeners. So that's why it's good that things keep getting bigger and better, and then we keep bringing more and more people into the fold.
Well, the more people that you can reach, the more powerful the transmitter, and the more people that can participate, the better.
And then that leads me to your newer project. You're trying to get funding to somehow hypnotize people through the radio. Is that true?
That's not hard to do.
To a certain degree, yes.
All right.
I'm working on a project where we're hypnotizing the performers in the piece, kind of like in the Herzog film Heart of Glass, where he hypnotized the actors. This is more a piece where the performers on stage are hypnotized before the show, but the concept is, as we're doing it, is they respond to certain sounds and frequencies. And so, you know, ideally you could send that out through the radio and have it feels like an old, you know, 30s radio serial kind of thing where it's the hypnotist and you're hypnotizing people through the airwaves. So all these things come into play when we're creating the new piece.
Well, so like David Copperfield and, you know, David Blaine.
See how far you can go with this idea of hypnotism.
Yeah, well, be careful with that. You know, this no laughing matter, you know, hypnotism. And I guess plug this show you're doing with Radio Hole up at Impact. You can talk, you know, what did you do for that? It's called Frankenstein.
Oh, the loony bin has walked in.
It's Inflatable Frankenstein. It's this Friday, coming Friday, the 22nd, I think, at Impact up in Troy. But it's I perform in it, but I also did a lot of the communications. We control the show from the stage, so all the actors have wireless kind of devices on them that we use to control the lights and the sound of the piece. So I basically coordinate all of that. And, you know, we did a residency up at Troy last summer where they collected, you know, thousands of recycled bags, plastic bags, and basically, you know, melted them together and made this giant inflatable that's really beautiful to look at out of recycled plastic and stuff. So, you know,
cool.
That's kind of how Frankenstein is just a conglomerate of everything out there. This play kind of is, too. It's a lot of fun. We did it at the Kitchen last January, and now we're doing it up there for one night.
One night only. Well, that sounds great. And, you know, I guess next time we have you on, we'll talk more about this open-air radio device we're going to be creating, this three-way radio device that you're going to be, you know, our number one programmer slash you don't even know how much we're going to hire you for top dollar to make this all become a reality. So thanks, Ryan Holsoppel and 31 Down Radio Theater. And we have that song you requested earlier.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me support the radio station. They've been so kind to me over the years. And I guess my song recommendation for, well, it's snowing where I am, so it's a demo version of Ride Into the Sun by the Velvet Underground, a really pretty demo version. So,
all right.
I suggest to listen.
Well, thanks, and we just... Awesome, thank you, Ryan. And we got some new people in the studio. All right, have a good day.